Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. The Brewers Outlet specials between now and Tuesday: Hams and Hams Light 30 packs, $11.98, and Blue Moon 12 pack bottles, $14.95. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, absolutely second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. They also have the sauces that they have, they're putting out now, the Yingling sauces. Great stuff there at Brewers Outlet. All right, Todd Callis in a few minutes, and our play-by-play call of the day. What a night for the Phillies. They tie a franchise record, hitting 7 home runs in a single game.
2-1, swung on and crushed. Deep center field, and that ball is gone. Up under the smokestacks as Nick Williams becomes the third Philly tonight to have a 2-homer game. And the Phillies have tied their all-time club record here tonight in Cincinnati with 7 home runs.
Amazing, isn't it? They're on a roll. And I think that it was great having on the show Tim Kirchen and talk about what they need to add along the way. Well, I think he's right. It's going to be a subtle ad that's going to make them better. And I mean, obviously, the big one, and you know how much I advocated for Manny Machado being added to the roster. But again, the Dodgers, you know, that's why I asked Tim straight out, what was it about the Dodger offer that was better? And I think the key was the 5 prospects as opposed to the 5 prospects as opposed to the 3. And I'm not saying that the Phillies offered 3 prospects, but it sounds, based on what Tim said, that others that were in the running for this that ended up being a swing for them. So now, what can they do? Well, they can do one or two things. They can add another arm, no question about that. The Cubs, who... very quietly, the Cubs have the best record in the National League. And the Cubs, 2 years ago when they won, were anything but quiet. They were loud every single day. But Tim's right. They've done it offensively with the Cubs. They needed another arm to get in there. And they're hoping that Cole Hamels is that guy. Hamels has not had a great season with the Rangers. And as Tim Kirchen said, that's probably more mechanical than anything else. So, and they think they can fix that. And we'll find out. I guess we're waiting for Todd to call us, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. This, you know, this will be the time, you know, the suit calls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Last Friday of the month.
Yeah.
Oh, I need you to recut this one sentence. I'm only here till 5. Well, I'm only in this chair till 5. See how that works?
Like it had. Oh, I know how it works.
Oh, I know you do.
Oh, yeah, I know how it works. Absolutely. But that's where they are. Look, the 3 best teams in baseball are all in the American League. They are the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Astros. Those are the 3 best teams. And, you know, Seattle's not bad either. But you know what? The Dodgers and the Phillies and the Cubs have been pretty good in the National League. But the Red Sox, the Astros, and the Yankees have been the 3 best teams, not just in the American League, but in baseball. So we have an opportunity now to get Todd Callis on to talk about that team. And what makes them really good. Todd, absolute pleasure. Welcome to the show. Thanks for the time you're giving us today.
Hey, no problem, Steve. How's it going?
It's going really well. I hope everything's going well for you. It's, again, it's a terrific ball club that the Astros have this year. I want to start with Maldonado. Gold Glove winner, awesome arm. Was that an element that the Astros felt they needed, especially against a couple of the running games in the American League like the Indians and Red Sox?
Yeah, I think so. They could have gone forward and had Tim Fedorovich and Max Stassi continue to catch, but I think whenever you can add a defensive specialist like a Martin Maldonado coming off a Gold Glove season, they may end up going with three catchers in the postseason. So I think when Brian McCann comes back, I think he'll still be the lead dog in the catching trio, but I also think you're going to see the mix and match with Maldonado and also with Stassi.
Is there anything else you think the Astros might need? I mean, this is a team playing almost 650 baseball, for goodness sakes, but they're also in a league where there are two other teams doing the same thing. Is there anything else you think that they might need, or should the Astros be okay where they are now?
You always look to improve if you can. If they can make a deal that maybe shores up the bullpen a little bit, maybe even a guy that can finish out a game, I'm sure that's something that Jeff Luhnow and his staff are looking at right now. They've been using Hector Rondon, and he's done a nice job, but they could also use another guy locking down late in a game, especially for the postseason. So I think that's where their main focus is. They may look to add a position player if somebody becomes available, but right now I think for the most part they're fine. Their rotation is just filled with five studs, and they just need to figure out a way to get a little better locking down some games with leads at the end.
Yeah, one of those five studs goes tonight, and that's Dallas Keuchel. And State College fans saw him pitch when he was at Tri-City. But about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that, he complained that, gee, they're not adding anybody, and they added then Justin Verlander. Can you explain to everyone the impact? On the field, impact's obvious, but has there been a real impact as to what he's meant to the organization and that staff off the field?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Justin Verlander sets the bar so high, and Dallas was the man before JV got here. And now with Verlander and Gerrit Cole and Charlie Morton all reaching the postseason, all five of the guys in the rotation have now been, or actually with those three making the All-Star team, all five of those guys have been in the All-Star game the last couple of years. So it's a pretty phenomenal group. Dallas has pitched very well in July, but going back to your question, yes, Verlander makes a difference on the mound, but also sets the tone in the clubhouse too. He's so meticulous in his preparation. He just locks in and goes through as much video as any starting pitcher you'll see. And then the day he pitches, he is just laser focused. So I think that could only help. Each guy's got a little different personality, but I think when you go out there and see the success that Verlander has at age 35, and you kind of look to see how he prepares going into a start, it can only help the other four guys.
Pirate fans may wonder, why have Gerrit Cole and Charlie Morton been better in Houston than they were in Pittsburgh?
Well, Morton actually started throwing the ball when he was with the Phillies for those brief outings before he got hurt 2 years ago. He was starting to throw the ball a little better with the Phillies. I think for Gerrit Cole, it's just a matter of letting that four-seam fastball eat and not relying on that two-seamer down and in. I think Morton, to an extent, was also more of a ground ball pitcher when he was with the Pirates, and now he's able to get more strikeouts. I think both guys are not pitching to contact as much as they're pitching up in the zone at times and just letting that four-seamer ride. And Cole's got a fastball that's elite. He can bring it around 100 miles an hour. And while Morton doesn't touch 100, his average fastball is around 95, 96. He never threw that hard with the Pirates. He was more about hitting his spots down and in on that two-seamer. And now that he and both Gerrit are letting that fastball eat a little bit, it's really had a lot of success and one of the reasons they've done so well with the Astros.
Yeah, Morton's biggest problem when he was here, he always had that one inning. For something like three innings, he looks great. Then all of a sudden he'd have that one inning, and everybody go, okay, here we go. It seems like he's avoided that one inning.
He does to an extent, but every once in a while it's strange. Like, he's a guy that is, once he gets a little bit out of whack with his rhythm and his mechanics, you can see him lose it for about an inning. And we have seen that on occasion this year. There was a start against the Texas Rangers where he hit four batters and he walked another five or six. There was a start against the Arizona Diamondbacks where he walked four in the first inning. So it comes and goes, and usually he's locked in and he's on point. But every once in a while, he'll get out of rhythm, and it seems like it takes him a little while to find that zone again. But what Charlie's done for this team has been remarkable over two seasons. When you talk about a guy who won two game sevens last year in the postseason for the first time anybody's ever done that, and then an all-star this year and well-deserved. So maybe not having that big blow-up inning like he did with the Pirates in terms of runs allowed, but occasionally he'll get out of his rhythm every once in a while.
They certainly have stars, Springer, and obviously Altuve, who must be awesome to watch him on an everyday basis. Same thing with Correa. What's made Alex Bregman really come into his own the last year and a half?
That's a good question. I think just the fact that he's having success and that builds confidence. And he's always been a confident kid, even from the time he came up and really struggled his first few weeks. He always knew that he had the ability and the skill to play at this level. But he has done things this year that if you asked at the beginning of the year which infielder was going to have the best season, very few would have picked Alex Bregman. But he's been the guy. He's been the best offensive player on this team in 2018. He just has locked in the zone even better than he ever did before. He very, very rarely leaves the zone. Occasionally, he'll come up on a pitch that's a little bit up in the zone and swing at that. But for the most part, he's one of the best plate discipline guys you'll find, not only on this team, but in the league. And then he's not missing his pitch. Once he gets that pitch that he likes, he's usually doing damage with it. If it's not a home run, it's a double, or if it's a ball, it's a ball hit hard somewhere. So he's been locked in now for really about a two and a half month stretch, and he's kind of carried this team while Correa's been hurt, and it's great to see. He's a baseball rat. You won't find a guy take more swings or do more reps on the field or work in the cage any harder than Alex Bregman, and the work pays off.
What's it been like for you on an everyday basis to watch Altuve and Correa perform?
I enjoyed them when I was coming in as a visitor when I worked for the Tampa Bay Rays for all those years. But now that I get to watch them for 162, it's really special. I mean, they have a unique relationship in the middle of the infield that you don't see very often. They play the game kind of like little leaguers play or back in AAU days, where they just have such a joy for the game and they play it that way. And so to watch them, with the skills they have, play the game like a little kid is quite a combination. And Carlos has been hurt here for the last month or so, so the Astros will find that a little more today. But they're hoping to get him back sooner than later, hopefully in the next week or so. And then Altuve's banged up a little bit with a little knee contusion, so he may not be in the lineup tonight. But to watch those guys day in and day out, and to start with Altuve at second and Correa at short as your kind of centerpieces to this team, you're so much further advanced than any other team in baseball with those two being your middle infielders that it's kind of in a way unfair, but it's a nice problem for the Astros to have, because it's fun to watch them every day.
I was explaining earlier that when Fran Fischer was the play-by-play voice of Penn State football, basketball, he didn't do postseason games. The first one he did was at the Sugar Bowl against Georgia. All those other years he didn't. Now in my role, I do every bowl game, every postseason game. Last year, you did the regular season, then it got the postseason. You had to become a spectator. What was that like?
A little different, and I kind of got used to working pre- and post-game shows for the Rays whenever they got to the postseason, that run of 4 out of 6 years from 08 through 13. So I kind of got used to working in some realm, even though it wasn't working our normal TV role. But it was a little different this year. I mean, last year, for sure. I knew going in that was part of the deal, that the Astros just didn't do anything with the postseason in terms of their coverage on AT&T. So I knew that going in. But at the same time, it was difficult when you stay with a team for 162 and then you get to the postseason and you are not basically allowed to do your job. But that's every TV broadcaster for every major league team knows that's the deal kind of going in. So it was fun to be a fan. What a run it was to be a fan. And we had a lot of good times in the seats and the stands with my wife and cheering on the Astros. But it was a little different not being in the booth, for sure.
I'll give you a little anecdote, then I'll ask the question. The anecdote is this. On top of what I do here, I also teach a sports broadcasting class here at Penn State. And in the first class I have, I'll always ask them, where are you from? What's your favorite sport, favorite team? Who's your favorite broadcaster? Now, obviously, Penn State's a big university, so they'll come from all over the country. But the vast majority, as you know, will be from Pennsylvania. And I'd say 60% of those are from eastern Pennsylvania. You'd be shocked to know, probably, that all these years later, and these are all young people that are 20 and 21 years of age, I'd say 2 out of every 3 from eastern Pennsylvania name your father as their favorite sports broadcaster. So I just want to pass that anecdote. I mean, that to me is really neat when young people still revere him like that to this day, because they were very young when they heard him.
That's really cool. I love that.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you knew that. And the question is as follows. What did you pick up from him that you still do today? That's part of you. I mean, Todd Callis is Todd Callis, so he has to do the job your own way. But what did you pick up from him that, that are basics that are still a staple for you today? And was there another broadcaster that gave you an influence too?
Yeah, in terms of Dad's influence, I always kind of, we have similar intonations and similar ways we call things, but I think, you know, we have our own styles as well. But I always appreciated that Dad was never afraid to just let, you know, spaces in the broadcast sit there and not have to fill them up. And I think when you let the game breathe, especially the game of baseball, when you're there for 162 games for an average of 3 hours a game, you're not, you don't, if you don't have anything important to say, it's not worth really filling up the broadcast, just because there's so much ambient sound anyhow. And the stadium kind of lives on its own without a broadcaster saying anything. So I kind of picked that up from him, and his pacing was always a little slower and a little more deliberate than a lot of other announcers. And I think I kind of have a little more laid back broadcast style because of that. In terms of other influences, I mean, I always watched the other guys that Dad worked with, and I always appreciated how Andy Muster and Chris Wheeler and Richie Ashburn blended with the broadcast. But in terms of the other broadcasters around the league, I always admired and was a big fan of Skip Carey, and how, mm-hmm. even though the Atlanta Braves weren't always very talented in some of those years that he was broadcasting, he always kept it entertaining, and he kept things loose on the broadcast. So I think that's important, too, and I learned that through the years filling in on Ray's broadcast, is when you don't have a very good team, it's hard to, you know, talk strategy and dissect the game every night. It's good to have a little levity every once in a while, and Skip certainly brought that. So I guess that would be something else I would take from a broadcaster other than Dad.
That's interesting. By the way, the last 20 years I've worked with Jack Ham, he often speaks fondly of your father. And I'm talking like a couple times a season, he'd bring up your father's name to me because of how much you enjoy working on Westwood with him. So I just want to make sure you knew that, too.
Thank you. Yeah, and occasionally they would head down and do a Buccaneers game, and I would catch up with them, and we would have dinner together. So I got to know Jack a little bit. So tell him I said hello, and I appreciate that he still brings up Dad's name a lot. That's great.
Absolutely. Hey, you've carved out your own legacy. You're doing great, great work. Anytime on MLB Network I get a chance to watch the Astros and hear it, it's really, really special. And congratulations on what you're doing, and also the fact the Astros are so good.
Oh, thank you so much. It was, yeah, quite a year to come over. I couldn't have picked a better timing. But, yeah, it's all worked out well. I still have a lot of great friends in the Tampa Bay area that I go and visit every now and then. But, yeah, the timing couldn't have been any better to join the Astros, for sure.
Just make sure that they understand that you're actually the good luck charm. Just make sure they know that.
Yeah, I'm sure it has a little something to do with the guys at the dugout, but I'll take 0.01% credit. How about that?
Perfect. Todd, thanks so much for the time. I know you got a game tonight with the Rangers, so I appreciate the fact that you gave us a few minutes today.
All right, Steve, you got it. Good talking to you.
Todd Callis, the play-by-play voice of the Houston Astros on TV. He's got an Astros-Rangers game tonight. And Jack tells some great stories about working with Harry as well. So, all right, we'll come back with more in a moment. The Prince of Pickles is coming up at the bottom of the hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
How can your summer memories last for the next 6 years? With a new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia and up to 6 years interest-free. Sunbury Motors Kia is helping make summer memories last and last during the America's Best Value Summer Clearance with 0% financing for up to 72 months.
That's 6 years.
On 2018 Kia Optima, Serenos, and Sportages. Own a 2018 Kia Optima for just $258 a month. A 2018 Kia Sportage can be yours for only $269 a month. Both for 72 months. Get 0% financing for up to 66 months on 2018 Kia Forte, Souls, Niro, Sedona, and Cadenza. Own a 2018 Kia Soul or 2018 Forte for only $225 a month. month for 66 months. Celebrate summer with America's best value. The industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Offer expires 7/31/18. Financing through KMF for qualified buyers. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
The Philadelphia Phillies play right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Swing and a high fly. Deep right center field. Way, way back there and gone. Oh, my. What a game-tying drive by Jorge Alfaro.
Phillies baseball on WKOK is sponsored by Mart's Game Farm, Murray Motor Chevrolet, Shade Mountain Winery, Susquehanna Valley Limousine, and Sunbury Motors.
Your home for Phillies baseball is News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Been quite a day today with Tim Kirchen on the show and Todd Callis on the show. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have bringing it to you. If you missed any of it, you can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast and listen to Todd reminisce about, talk about the Astros, which we mostly did, but obviously I had to reminisce a little bit about his father because his father played such a role in so many of the lives in the Valley that listened to him. And, of course, we're now your home for the Phillies. And Scott Fransky, by the way, is as fine a baseball play-by-play broadcaster as there is out there. And the Phillies are back in action again tonight after hitting a franchise-tying 7 home runs last night, as heard on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Tim Kirchen, as good a guy as there is, period, and as fine a writer as there is in all of baseball. So we've had a fun show today. The Prince of Pickles is next. Kevin will be on, bringing the touch to the table that only he can bring. Looking forward to that. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, second to none.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you and thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. The Brewers Outlet specials between now and Tuesday, Hams and Hams Light 30-pack cans, $11.98, and Blue Moon 12-pack bottles, $14.95. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, absolutely second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend tonight. And then sit back and enjoy. The weather is finally going to be great this weekend. So enjoy it. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And now, back after missing us for a week and rejoining the program, is my brother.
Oh, Goober. Yeah, you know, giggle.
Yeah.
While we're here, and we'll be at the restaurant in 5 minutes, can you join us?
Well,
like, holy crap.
I thought maybe you were home, so I didn't know where you were.
Nope.
So I apologize for that.
I didn't even know you were in town. So
that's how we like to do things. No. Okay. Now you're like
stealth. Stealth.
You're gonna find this story interesting. Okay. I go on vacation, and for whatever reason, along the way, I'll get recognized by somebody. And we're in Danbury at the hotel in the lobby. Okay. I was at the golf course with my son Mike on Cape Cod. Okay. Somebody from Philadelphia. All right. Well, we're coming out of a restaurant in Hyannis. It just, you know, we just went and got pizza, the whole family. I walk out, and this guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, Steve Jones." I said, you know, now, I'm thinking to myself, this is a Penn State fan, you know, because I've already run into him a couple times on the trip. So I'm like, "Hey, great to see you. How you doing?" He goes, "I'm doing great. It's me, Lenny." And I'm thinking to myself, Lenny? What Lenny do I know? And all of a sudden it hit me. Lenny Guyette, who played football with Kevin and me at Enfield High School.
Oh, the tall guy with blonde
hair? Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to talk about, like, random. I walked out of the restaurant onto Main Street in Hyannis. So I'm out there for literally 30 seconds waiting for Kathy. And all of a sudden, he's standing in front of me. Now, you know, like the other people, I just thought it was like Penn State fans or whatever. But no, he's doing social work. He lives in Sandwich. He was in Hyannis working that night. He walked down the street, recognized me right away, and said hi. He's doing great.
Yeah, he got into, like, preaching and stuff.
Yes, he did. And he got married. He's been married 13 years. And he's doing social work now, and he was in Hyannis doing social work.
Oh, good for him. I like Lenny. Lenny was a good guy.
Oh, awesome guy. Yeah. Awesome guy. But I'll freely admit, I was absolutely shocked. He was the last person on the planet I expected to see.
Oh. Well, that's cool. That's a good story.
No, that was a great story because, like I said, it had happened a couple of other times on the trip, you know, so you find out where they're from and the whole thing, and they're big Penn State fans, whatever. This was a completely opposite. This is a guy I played high school football with 43 years ago.
I know. Isn't that a long time ago? Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Absolutely.
You must be old.
Yeah, no, very. Yeah. And not only that, but as the years have gone by and people forget more and more, my career got better.
For 2 minutes to go. The ball was on the 10. Drew him down 90 yards.
That was unbelievable.
Fourth and one.
I mean, teams we didn't even...
People have no idea who I am.
Yeah, I mean, teams that we didn't even play. I helped us beat.
Mercy ruled him that night.
Oh, unbelievable. I gained 220 yards in the first half. And I wasn't even a running back. So, oh, goodness. Yeah, 43 years ago. How about that?
Wow, unbelievable. We were talking about that the other day. I graduated from college. It's getting hard to add up how many years ago it was.
Yeah.
1970. You got to start, you know, it's hard to add up the years. This has bugged me all week. When did Jimmy Garoppolo suddenly like the greatest quarterback in the NFL?
That's a great question.
Absolutely nothing. I mean, I don't get it. And they don't even bring up the fact that he had opportunities to play with the Patriots off and on, and every time he played, he got hurt.
Yes, he did get hurt.
I want to see him win a meaningful game. Win him five games at the end of the year that don't matter to anybody that you're playing. Just a bunch of guys playing for contracts. That doesn't mean anything. They talk about him like, you know, he's better than Brady, and Belichick thought he was better than Brady. No, he didn't. He'd have kept him if he thought that.
Look, Belichick is the kind of coach that if he thought somebody was better than Brady, that someone else would be playing.
Absolutely.
Belichick's not going to sit there and get sentimental, "Hey, Brady's my guy." That's not how he is.
No. He's never been that way. He's I mean, he let Ty Law go. You know, he lets good players go when he thinks they're done. You know, he is all about, and I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to have a great career, but he hasn't done anything. He hasn't won a meaningful game. He hasn't won a playoff game. He had, you know, I would take Folk over him any day. I think the Eagles are going to repeat. What do you guys think?
I think, let's start with this. I think it's very interesting that the Patriots beat the Houston Texans with Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback. To me,
third string with the Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was behind Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And he won with him. Look, Garoppolo is what I refer to as the flavor of the moment. A guy
he's a good-looking guy. He's a nice guy. He's a tremendous athlete. He's a good quarterback,
yeah.
But he has proved that he can go out and play a 16-game season without getting hurt and then play a four-game season of playoff football. He hasn't done that. He hasn't even – he's only started seven games. And, God, they talk about him like he's the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl because they got Garoppolo. And there's a whole lot more that goes in than just being good-looking and winning five meaningful games. I mean, seriously, with the Patriots, he had opportunities. Not a lot, but every time he went out there, he got hurt. So, Deflategate, he only played two games because he got hurt. They had to put Brissett in.
Right, that's my point.
Yeah. Before you start anointing him so great, he's got to put in a full season, at least that, you know.
Right. And again, in this offseason, he is, quote, the flavor of the moment. You know, he had a really good end of last year. He's given everybody in the Bay Area some hope. So, and when you're looking for fresh faces and a story, Garoppolo is a fresh face. Coming out of the Patriots and working for Belichick makes him a story. So that makes him interesting to a lot of people. I, of course, as you know, don't care about any of that stuff. I'm with you. I think you got to play and just get it done yourself and carve out your own legacy. Then I'll appreciate it once you've carved out your own legacy. Right now, he hasn't carved out any legacy.
Anybody who knows anything about sports, it's, you know, you got to do it on the field. I mean, any sports, anything, you have to perform. He hasn't performed yet. He hasn't really had a chance, but he's about 50-50 right now with how many starts and opportunities he had with the Patriots that couldn't play because he was hurt is equal to his friends in San Francisco. I don't, just because he hasn't lost, he could never stay healthy with the Patriots when he had opportunities to play.
Well, to his credit, he stepped in last year and to his credit played really well.
Yeah.
For a team that has really struggled. And he's the first ray of hope that they've had. And I also think let's give Kyle Shanahan a lot of credit. It's obvious that Kyle Shanahan is a very good play caller and does a good job of adapting what he has to the players he has.
That's true. I just got to see him perform before. When these people talk about him on these talking heads, and I'm like, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, that's right. You do want to see a full season of a full body of work of one season, but this is the first time in quite a while that this storied franchise in the National Football League has a nice little bit of optimism and hope going forward.
Yeah, I mean they've got new. I don't know if they have new ownership, but they got new front office people. I mean, isn't that their general manager and who the head coach is, but they're all new. So,
Shanahan started last year as the head coach after being the offensive coordinator for the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And, you know, he obviously has a good feel for play calling. Garoppolo gives him a really good chance to execute some of the stuff he wants to do. Now, let's see what Garoppolo is like, for example, when adversity hits him and he hits a slump. I mean, it's like with any young player, and I talk about this all the time. You can come in, you get the job done, and then in the off season, pitching coaches, defensive coordinators, they sit down, they look at tape. And when they look at tape, they come up with ways to beat you, and then it's up to you to adjust to their adjustments. The ones that are able to adjust back are the ones that have longevity. Jimmy Garoppolo has not gone through that stage yet where he's had to adjust back.
Right. They're going to, it's the NFL. They're going to counter what he does. If he throws well going to the right, they're going to take that away from him. So he's going to have to be able to throw to the left. He doesn't have enough tape for anyone, but he will. And when he does, he's got a response. For example, is Jackie Bradley Jr. Jackie Jr. for the Red Sox, his spring training, like 4 years ago, he was batting like 390.
Yeah.
And then they figured out how to get him out, and he never responded. He could never, and that's his big Achilles heel, is he can't hit. But boy, when he came out his first year, he was like a can't miss. I mean, his fielding is keeping him in the major leagues.
No question.
Not his hitting, you know.
Right, no
and he
question.
He was tremendous in spring training. And that's kind of the same with Garoppolo. He really hasn't. He's going to have to respond before they. I'm only saying it because I listen to so many different shows, and it's all the big mistakes that the Patriots made by letting him go. How could they let such a great player go, and they didn't get anything for, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, maybe they know something other people don't know. But one thing for sure, he could never stay healthy when he got his chances.
Right. Couldn't stay healthy. As a negative. And, you know, look, and at the same time, as you said, they know more about him than anybody else. Who's always the most popular guy in town? Most popular guy in town is always the backup quarterback, because that's the guy that hasn't made any mistakes.
I mean, he hasn't had that. A couple playoff games. His focus still the Eagles, right?
Yeah, he sure is. Yeah, Nick Foles. Yep.
My God, he's good.
He's a good player.
That he didn't sign on as a starter with somebody else. That was no fluke. He's a good quarterback. Won big games. I would take him any day over Garoppolo. Any day. Because I know that under pressure, he can win. I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo can win under pressure. I really don't know.
Well, let me tell you this way about Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's the one negative I take out of the five games he started last year with the Niners. He threw 7 touchdowns. That's good. But in a league that frowns on interceptions, he also threw 5.
Yep.
That's not the ratio you're looking for.
Well, they won, and that's all people looked at as they won.
Sure.
And I'm not criticizing the kid. He's a tremendous athlete. He had a great college career. It was supposed to be a can't miss and supposed to be heir apparent to Tom Brady. But, gosh, let him play some meaningful football before you anoint him the best quarterback in the NFL, you know? I think he makes more than Brady, doesn't he?
I believe his new contract with San Francisco is significant. I think he does make more than Brady does. But the Brady household has more money than he has.
Brady's wife makes more than anybody in the NFL.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Good for her. And good for her. I'm for anybody making whatever they can make.
Yeah. I mean, she's a talented woman. I mean, people think she models. I think she owns modeling agencies, something like that.
She's a good business person. She knows what she's doing.
She's worth 30 or 40 a million a year.
Yeah.
Closer to 50.
50?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Hey, one quarterback is married to one of the most beautiful women in the world, and another quarterback we just talked about earlier this week was spotted having dinner in L.A. with a porn star. So.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, what are you thinking? What are you doing?
Come on. I mean, he's pretty recognizable, so.
Yeah.
And I guess so is she.
Well, if one thing, he converted her to a football fan. So.
I'm sure she's hot.
How excited I am by this news.
Yeah.
All right. Great. So what are your Yankees going to
do? A joke. No.
So I talked to Tim Kirchen. Today, who's on the show in the previous hour, and I asked him about Aaron Judge, and like Judge probably won't be back until maybe Labor Day. And I said, "What do the Yankees do without him?" And he said, "Well, without he and Sanchez, it's a little different ball game. They now have to outpitch people in some ways, and that's where Jay Happ and Zach Britton come in. So, how concerned are you about your Yankees?"
Me? Well, I don't know. The Red Sox are so good. I'm concerned. Their pitching's not. Bringing in Happ in is a really solid move.
Yeah, and he's good against the Red Sox.
Toronto would do that within their division. But the Reds, you can't let the Red Sox get too far away, and the Yankees are going to end up with that one game playing for the playoffs. And I mean, if you don't have the pitching, forget about it. But they still have a lot of firepower for home runs. I mean, you know, losing Judge hurts, but they've got, the Yankees are deep. I don't know. But they're falling too far behind the Red Sox. The Red Sox are as solid of a baseball team as I've seen in a long, long time. So,
they've got the Phillies, by the way.
The one that makes it.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, let's go back to the end of last season. Sean, which person said over and over and over again for months the player the Red Sox had to sign? I said they had to sign J.D. Martinez.
Yes.
Over and over.
Yes.
And it's only because of the gigantic hole that they have with David Ortiz not being in the lineup. It was apparent they had to have a bat that could handle that part.
And it wasn't too shabby about this time last year when they got Chris Sale, too.
Chris Sale, they got him in a trade.
And they've handled Chris Sale very good this year. Chris Sale is great, but his one Achilles heel is he poops out. Great season last season, but he pooped out.
In the postseason,
yeah.
By the way, the Phillies,
every year in his career, and they've been very careful with him this year. They're not letting him pitch, you know, complete games. They're pulling him after six or seven innings, and they did not pitch him very much in spring training at all.
And
that's his Achilles heel.
And by the way, the Phillies are going to avoid Chris Sale, and they're going to avoid Rick Porcello. They're both pitching this weekend, so the Phillies will not see either one of them.
Yeah, I think Sales is pitching tonight. So.
Yeah, Sale is pitching tonight, so neither one is going to pitch against the Phillies.
Yeah.
A lot of great left-handed pitchers pitching tonight. You got Sale, you got Keuchel, you got Kershaw all going tonight.
Yeah, it's lefty night at the ballpark.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a trivia for you. What sandwich has Martinez never eaten?
J.D. Martinez?
J.D. Martinez.
I wasn't sure you're talking about Pedro. I wasn't sure.
I'll say peanut butter and jelly.
Yep. How'd you know that?
It was an absolute guess. I mean, believe
me. He's never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Can you believe
what?
That?
No PBJ. Oh, no.
Actually, it was a topic of discussion when you ran into your old football buddy there last Friday night.
Yeah. That was shocking.
I mean,
that was shocking.
That I asked the question and the fact that you knew the answer, we got to get a life, man.
You're not
I find that,
that
interesting, and I find that even more interesting. You know it.
Well, for 59 and a half years, you and I have been trying to get a life.
Yeah.
All right, guys. The music says, as Dick Girardi would say, we are gone.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.